It's Kim and another episode of Offshore Banter. And today we're going to be attacking bubbleheads, airheads, divers. For those that don't know, in the offshore industry, we refer to divers normally as bubbleheads. So there's a couple of stories here. One of them's just funny. The other one is... So I think... Well, we'll start with the funny one. I was staying in a hotel in Taichung. I'd been in a hotel staying there for about a year, working on this project. The company I worked for eventually moved me into an apartment just next to the hotel for the second year of that project. But that first year, I was in the hotel the whole time. And towards the end of the summer, so I was been in country for about 9 months. And I knew all the staff, I knew everybody. And it was Saturday evening, and I'd been out on a date. And so I was wearing quite a short skirt. I had fishnet stockings on, don't judge me, high heels, all of that stuff. You know, tossed up my hair, all done up and a thing. And so I come back to the hotel, had a few drinks, feeling quite relaxed, really enjoying myself, had a really nice evening. And the deputy manager of the hotel saw me come in, and she ran up to me. She said, Kim, you need to help me. I don't know what to do. I said, what's wrong? She said, look at them. I don't know whether to call the police. All my staff are scared. We don't know what to do about it. And I looked across, and there's like this gang of about 20 bubbleheads in the corner, dominating this part of the reception area with dozens of bottles of beer, half empty, half full, scattered around on the tables, on the floor, and you could hear them, this, F this and F that, and oh, you're so full of it, and blah, 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 and they're just shouting at each other and bellowing with laughter. You can tell it's just a bunch of offshore guys who've been having a bit of fun. And of course, I've been around guys like that for my entire offshore career, and I have no problem with it. I mean, sometimes it goes a bit too far. They need to be reined in. Fair enough, no problem. I had my date with me at the time, who was not that familiar with the offshore life, and had just met me that evening, and come back to the hotel with me. And, of course, I'm thinking, oh, I've got a date here. I have to kind of preserve this ladylike image, but at the same time, obviously, I need to step in. And these guys, these bubbleheads, they weren't working on the same project as me. All that kind of stuff, right? So I had no dominion over them. I had no authority. They weren't answerable to me in any way whatsoever. But I'm quite senior in the industry, and I've been around offshore guys a lot, so I know what I've got to do. And I'm just like, okay, fine, I'll handle it. I said, don't worry, don't call the police, I will handle it. So I kind of perk myself up and just make sure I'm feeling good, and I in my high heels, and I don't wear high heels that often, right? So I'm not that familiar with them. By this time of the evening, it's the end of the evening, I've had a few drinks, and my heels are killing my feet. So I'm tottering across there, trying to look, you know, like I can walk properly. And not in pain. And I go up to them, and I have this sort of school mom expression on my face. Stern. I go up, and they see me tottering up to them, and they all kind of go quiet. And they look at me, because, you know, they've seen me around, and a lot of people in the area sort of knew who I was, and my role, and all that kind of stuff. And I go, right, you lot, you've had your fun, now go back to your rooms, and stop misbehaving, because the hotel are really worried about your behavior. They are even thinking of calling the police. That's it. Enough is enough. I'm telling you now, pack up, clean up your mess, stop shouting, stop swearing, act like gentlemen, and go to your rooms. and there was silence. They all stared at me like rabbits in headlights. And then I turned around and I started tottering away, and one of them said, "What's it got to do with you?" And I span around and I went, "Who said that?" And I know for a fact, and I found somebody else confirmed it to me, one of the gangs, that group, said to me later, afterwards, the guy who said, "What's it got to do with you?" When I turned around and looked at them all, who said that? He said, "It wasn't me." "It wasn't me." It had been him. And he honestly looked like a 7-year-old boy was being accused of, you know, something bad in the classroom. And honestly, I almost started laughing when he said it, because, oh, it's so obvious. I said, "What's it got to do with me?" I said, "If I say to the hotel management that I can't get you lot under control, they will call the police. And I will have a chat, not just with the police chief in the town, but I know which project you're on. I know your project director. I'll give them a call in the morning and tell them what you lot have been up to and how you're behaving, how it reflects on your company, how it reflects on your project. And most of you will be on a plane by tomorrow night. That's what it's got to do with me. Do you understand me now? Right, I've said my piece. Do what I've asked you to do, and we can all live happily ever after." And I just turned around and tottered back to my date that was patiently standing there and said to me, "That was amazing." "Oh, thank you. That's nice. You know, it's just who I am. That's what I do." Anyway, so the gang actually did kind of start to gather their beer bottles together and tidy up after themselves. And the dive superintendent came up to me and said, "Kim, look, I'm really sorry about the lads. We've had a few drinks. Things got out of hand." I said, "That's all right. No problem." I said, "Come with me." And I took him over to the deputy manager of the hotel, this friend of mine. I said, "Right, what's your name?" He said, "I don't know. Tony." Right. I said, "Okay, Tony, this is the hotel manager, deputy manager. She's a friend of mine. If you have any problems or you need anything, or your lads need support with anything in the hotel, you speak to her and she will look after you." And I turned to my friend and said, "Right, this is Tony. He's responsible for the behaviour of all these men. If you have any problem with any of them, you speak to him directly. And if he doesn't handle it, I will. Won't I, Tony?" And you know what that means, don't you? He goes, "Yeah, Kim, don't worry. You won't have any more problems from us ever again while we're staying in this hotel." It's good. "Now, Tony, what's your room number?" He goes, "Well, why do you want..." "Then, Tony, what's your room number?" He goes, "I don't know, 510. Right, okay. He's in 510. If you need to have any conversation to do with anything to do with these lads, room 510, okay? Right. Now, we're done." I turn around, went back to my date. He's standing there bewildered, but, you know, this sort of floozy in fishnet stockings and high heels and a short skirt is just like bossing all of these men around and taking control. But you know what? After that, I had lots of fun with these divers. I went out drinking with them. I had quite a nice suite in the hotel, and quite a good hi-fi in the room, my own hi-fi. And one of my hobbies is producing techno music and DJing and stuff like that. So there are a number of times where I had music pumping out in my suite at a volume that wouldn't disturb other people. And all of these guys would come to my room and would just sit down and drink and talk stories like this, you know, for hours at a time, and had a really good time with them. Although one of them did steal one of my bras, and it was a really expensive bra, and I'm really not happy. And if you're watching this and you stole my bra, what did you do with it? What did you, some middle-aged man, do with my bra? It was a black lacy bra. It was a lovely balconette bra. Really, like, push together, push up. It was fantastic. Anyway, you owe me a £200 bra. Right, so that was the fun story. But then, another story to do with bubbleheads. This is not so nice. I mean, it still makes me angry to this day. And I was working on a project in Congo, Brazzaville. So Congo is two different countries. You've got DRC, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and you've got Congo-Brazzaville. Congo-Brazzaville was French Congo, and DRC effectively was Belgian Congo, if you look at the colonial maps. And Congo-Brazzaville, which is Pointe Noire, a favourite venue for oil and gas workers over the years, Congo-Brazzaville, Pointe Noire, is actually a pretty all right place. And so far as some of the destinations of Western Africa go, you get good food there, good drink, people are quite laid back. It's quite a nice place, and the people are lovely, very hospitable, very happy to have us go there, spend money in the local economy. They look after us and never had a problem. You could walk down the street, even I could walk down the street at night in Congo-Brazzaville, Pointe Noire, never had a problem. I might get a few comments, a few whistles, stuff like that. But anyway, I was part of the client team for the end client, for the big developer, the oil company, responsible for subsea installation works. But we also had one component of the project, which was a dive component. So while the project I was working on was in about a kilometer of water deep offshore, this dive component was about 30 meters underwater, between 50 feet and 100 feet, you know, 20 to 30 meters underwater. And it was linking buoyancy tanks into structures and stuff like that. So the dive team was responsible for that component. I was responsible for everything happening on the seabed. But that meant that there was also a dive rep, and he was only there for a short part of the project because his scope was only for about a month long. I was down there for, I think, a year and a half or something on that one. And I'd been warned about this guy. You know, he's a diver, fine, fair enough. Plongeur in French, because, of course, Congo, Brazzaville, French Congo. So this plongeur, this bubblehead, French bubblehead, had a reputation in the industry of being, shall we say, a little bit seedy, a bit dirty, and unapologetic about it. And I was warned about him. Kim, you need to watch out for this guy. It's okay, right, fine, fair enough. I appreciate the warning, thank you. And so it was the first instance of something being a bit odd. So he came up to me and he told me a story about a friend of his that had given oral relief to his girlfriend. And then she had reciprocated. And then he showed me a photograph on his phone of his friend being given oral relief by his girlfriend. And I'm like, okay, why did you show me that? And, you know, at this point, we're on a ship way off the coast. And I said, look, I don't really want to see stuff like that for me, thank you. You've got your job to do, I've got mine. I'm happy to be in the same team, but that's not, you know, I know offshore guys banter, we have a lot of fun together. That's crossing a line for me, okay? He's like, oh, okay, no problem. Anyway, a few days later, because I'm a hydrographic surveyor, look, surveyors offshore by a lot of the offshore guys are seen as, like, basically IT people. So if anyone has a problem with their computer, they'll come to the surveyors on board. Can you fix this for me? Like, it's quite endearing in a way, but it also is a complete failure for them to understand actually what we do. But one of the things we can do, obviously, is troubleshoot a lot of IT stuff. And if we've got a bit of time, or the guy's half decent, or we need a favour done in the future, we'll be like, yeah, okay, I've got your back, no problem, leave it with me. Do you know what's wrong with it? So anyway, after a few days, this plongeur, the dive rep for the company, came to me with this MacBook, and he said, my Mac is not working very well, it's very slow, it's not so good, eh? And I said, well, okay. He said, well, you're a surveyor, can you look at it for me? I'm like, okay. And again, a lot of what happens offshore, like this is horse trading. I'll do this for you. At some point, you'll do something for me. And, you know, together we all work through stuff and everything gets done okay. I said, okay, buddy, I've got your back. I'll have a look at it and see what I can do. But I'm not promising anything. So he left me his Mac. And when I had a bit of spare time, a few hours later, I took it out and opened it up, powered it on, and took ages to boot up. And I'm like, oh, that's a bit odd. And when it finally opened up, I thought, okay, let's have a look. How much capacity is left on there? Wasn't much space left on it. And then I was trying to see what was wrong. And, you know, it's a myth that Macs don't get viruses, because they can. Although there are fewer of them, and generally it's security and the controls, especially nowadays, seem to be pretty tight on Macs. But it is possible for Macs to get viruses. Now, what I found almost immediately upon delving into his computer to find out what was causing the issues, he did have a lot of infections in his browser, you know, stuff tracking his movements and probably phishing software and all kinds of stuff on there. Really malevolent stuff. But he also had this enormous collection, this is where it gets uncomfortable, of adult material that didn't have adults in it, if you know what I mean. And I felt sick. I didn't know what it was. And when I saw what he had and realized that a lot of the content on his computer, that's what it was, I felt physically sick. And I took the computer to my boss, the RSCS, the most senior person in the field at the time. And I said, look, one of our team, he brought me his computer to let me try and help him get it to run better, because he's having issues with it. And it's filled with this disgusting, illegal, foul content. And I felt really uncomfortable. And I just, what can we do about it? Now, the boss of mine at the time, funnily enough, was another woman, and she looked at me and she looked at the content, and just enough for a few seconds, and then we closed the lid down, and she's like, yeah, she said, I don't know what we can do about this, we're in Congo. And then we looked at each other and we're like, what can we do? And she said, look, the one thing I know that I can do beyond a shadow of a doubt is I can make sure that this man never works for this company ever again. And he won't. That's it. This guy's career in our part of the sector, in our company, is over. And I said, I know, but, well, that's good, that's something, but what about local police or some way of drawing it to the attention? And, you know, how do you get local Congolese police involved in something like that? Are there even any legal protections in place down there? So all we did ultimately was, you know, I copied down the Mac hardware address of his computer and some other identifying characteristics of the hardware, and bundled it with his name and personal information, contact details, email, phone number, etc., and made a report to the police back in Europe and said, you know, this is what, you know, he brought me his computer, this is what I found on it, I've handed it back to him, told him there's nothing I can do, but we are in deep water offshore sub-Saharan Africa. I told you it was a dirty, horrible, when I say dirty, it's not just a dirty story, it's seedy, it's horrible, and I felt powerless and frustrated, and I would have liked a better resolution to that one. But how do you manage it? What could you do in that situation? So either way, I'm hoping. I never heard much about him after that. In fact, nothing ever again. But either way, I do hope that justice was served at some point down the line. And at least, you know, there's a commitment by the company to make sure that that was it. He was out, gone, bye-bye. So that was it. Plongeurs. Divers. Bubbleheads. So anyway, that was another episode. A brilliant, exciting, enchanting episode of Offshore Banter with me, your hostess, Kim Asher. I hope you enjoyed this one. Well, I don't think enjoy is the right word. Most of my stuff is fun and lighthearted, but you know what? There's a bit of hard reality, and it's not... We shouldn't shy away from it, should we? It's not something we should just dismiss and not acknowledge. So, apologies if that went into an area that you're uncomfortable with. But it's worth knowing a bit about offshore life, isn't it? So look, if you're on watch, if you're at sea right now, if you're far from home, have a good watch. Have a safe trip. Be a good shipmate to everyone around you. Look after each other, lots of love. I'll be back again soon in another Offshore Banter. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share this with your friends, and send me your stories. Send me the banter that you would like to hear on this channel. Give me some grime, give me some details. Let's share around the campfire so we can all be enriched by the legends of the offshore lifestyle. Bye for now. Lots of love to everyone. This is Kim. Catch you soon.